You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
There we go again. Making up my mind. And telling me for certain I am a certain kind. There's water running down my cheekbone. Not afraid to stand and cry. I always love the rain that's coming, but I have often wondered why. In the company of strangers, we find a little empathy. But what we pass on to our children always will.
Well, it's a special day for me, and that's really all that matters here on The Drew Marshall Show. Two guests that I've been looking forward to tremendously. One, we just interviewed Dr. Hunter Patch Adams, the man behind the movie. Two, Martin Joseph is the second guy I've been looking forward to. And I don't want to creep him out a little bit too much, because right now he's sitting right beside me, but I got a little bromance going on here with Martin. It's safe for him because it's from a distance, but man, Shades of Springsteen, John Mayer and Dave Matthews, built on a reputation for giving what thousands have described as the best live music experience of their lives. Wait, you know what? I want to do this with his mics on. I want his chirping in on this. Martin, this is your bio.
I'm already.
You ready? This is your bio. One of acoustic music's most arresting artists. Is that why you have silver handcuff on the woods?
That's right, yes. I should be arrested.
This Welsh singer-songwriter has been in demand on both sides of the Atlantic for over two decades. Started when he was 10. Martin's 30-year career has embraced some notable achievements, including five top 50 UK chart positions, the Downward Doggy being one of them, and appearances and tours with, amongst others, Annie DeFranco, Suzanne Vega, Krista Berg, Art Garfunkel, Celine Dion, Shirley Bassey. He's won fans everywhere with his uncanny fusion of material. Feisty pull-no-punches, big-issue numbers alongside stripped-bare love songs. Who wrote this?
I didn't.
This is like the kind of novels my wife reads. It's getting steamy in here. Martin's particular strength is in the lyrical narrative of his songs, be they contemporary protests against injustice and inhumanity, a musical psalm to the fulfillment and fragilities of love, a piercing summary of social history. All that is just really bollocks.
That's a big build-up. Can we get on with the interview?
I wanted to see you squirm.
Oh, I'm squirming. You know, I mean,
welcome back.
Thanks, buddy. It's good to see you.
Last time you were here with a palm. Stuart
Henderson, my old buddy. Yes.
How's he doing?
He's so okay. He's had a bit of ill health lately, but I think he's on the mend, and I think we're gonna that was a tour we did for World Vision over here.
Yeah.
Just the two of us.
Yeah.
Combining poetry and music, and Stuart and I wrote a lot of songs together, and he's a unique individual.
He is a unique individual.
Mm, yeah, he's a very wise man. Poet, a broadcaster like yourself, on the BBC in the UK, and we had a great time touring across Ontario, and we're coming back, I think, in October to do the same across BC for World Vision this year as well. So,
why Canada? Why?
Well,
you've been working hard here. You've been pounding the pavement.
I've been here for 6 weeks now. This is my last show tonight in Orangeville. But I love Canada, Drew. I really do. I did one show in America 4 days ago down in Manchester, mm-hmm. New Hampshire, and it's just different. You cross that border, and it's different.
What's different?
Well, I think there's more of a kindness about Canada. I think there's a more...
Shut up.
No, I'm absolutely serious. Shut up yourself. When I first came here, the thing that struck me was the openness of people. I mean, let's face it, there's a lot less people here than in the States. Where I live, there's 75 million people in a piece of land the size of Vancouver Island or whatever it is, you know? Hmm. And I was struck by the compassion of the place and just the everyday kindness I find amongst people. I think there's much more of an openness to outsiders here, so I can come as a Welsh singer-songwriter and people are really interested in what I've got to say, whereas in America they've got so many thousands of songwriters doing their thing and they're not actually particularly interested in what anyone else perhaps has to say. You can't generalize, but I'm talking of just a basic openness combined with the... this place, the beauty of it, you know, it's the size of Canada.
All right. You had me at
all
hello.
All that sort of stuff.
Sheesh.
Well, you did ask, and I'm trying to give you an honest question. I think it's different. It's tangibly different. It's easier to get in here as far as work permits, all that sort of stuff.
Terrorists.
Well, they may get in too. I don't know. I enjoy coming here. It doesn't feel like work.
And yet it is. How many dates have you done in the last 6 weeks?
Tonight is my 27th.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm going home. I've come right across from Vancouver Island, right across Nova Scotia, and slipped back into Ontario for 3 shows. Played Toronto the other night. I was in Port Hope last night and Orangeville tonight.
Well done.
And I'm going home.
Well done. First thing you're going to do when you get home, other than sleep?
Cut the grass.
Shower.
Because
cut the grass.
We've had warm weather where at home, apparently. So we don't have a big, I don't need one of those machines like you guys have, your back ones here. I just push.
You mean a horse?
I just pull and push the thing up and down. But
being a good Welshman, you should have a few sheep in the backyard there.
No, sir. No, not big enough for that.
The upside about being away for 6 weeks and the downside?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, the upside is a little space for your own, you know, self. When you're on the road, you can be fairly selfish in terms of what you're going to do on a day. I mean, most of the time you've got to get somewhere anyway, but you don't really have to consider anyone else. That's one of the upsides. The downsides is you're separated from those that know you best, that you really love, your kids, your wife, your home. And that's tough. I mean, my wife and I, you know, we've been together since we were teenagers, so I think that space does us good. But the kids, you know, I feel like I keep missing chunks of their lives. I know 6 weeks doesn't sound like much, but
sure it is.
A lot can happen.
Sure it is, yeah. You know what I miss? I miss the days when the kids used to worship me. You know, I had them fooled to think I was all that.
Yeah, then they suddenly grew up and they realize.
And I'm a moron.
Yeah,
now.
Dad's a bit of an idiot. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, and they certainly know that.
How old are yours?
Mine are 22, 19, and 17.
Yeah.
And they're just beautiful. They're just great kids, full of kindness, compassion, and good stuff.
I have a 22 and an 18.
Yeah.
He's a good lad, and our daughter as well. All right, can we do a live song right now?
Yeah, we can do that.
I don't want to wait anymore. Martin Joseph is here all the way from wherever, and he's finishing off his tour tonight. In a little town called Orangeville, ladies and gentlemen. And here's a little thing you might want to know. It's $25 at the door. It's at Westminster Church, United Church, right on the main drag there, 247 Broadway. Show up. There'll be some seats. It's a very classic venue. It's this old, church, right? Old church.
Yeah, I was there once before, wasn't it? Yeah.
And I would say bring a bum cushion, though.
Yeah.
Pews. They've got pews. Yeah. You know, the hemorrhoid pillows, whatever you got. Whatever's handy, that'll work fine. And then afterwards, you're going to get tickets that have a little... why am I telling you this? Because this is my favorite pub right now. Okay. Finn McCool's in Orangeville's latest little Irish pub. On St. Patrick's Day, Martin, I spent 12 hours there.
You're a bad boy.
12? No, I was good. I was there from 11 to 11, and I had meetings. People came in. I had my meetings there
meetings.
In the snug, right beside the bar, the snug there. And I wasn't off my face or anything.
No,
it was just
no.
A lovely, lovely time, yeah. All right, set up this song, please.
Song called There's Always Maybe. I think it's about death.
Wow.
Well, there is always maybe. When there's no answers, that's what faith becomes. And all that's within me says, loved enough, you shall be once again. And if it's time for us to fall, well, don't suppose that this is all. Just remember what was here. And if the time has come to fly, well, let's not even say goodbye. If love means something, then there's always maybe. May a beautiful surprise now be there waiting to leave us breathless, though our breath has gone. And hearts forever beating but not broken, kissed by the beauty, the poetry and the sun. And if it's time for us to fall, well, don't suppose that this is all. Just remember what was here. And if the time has come to fly, well, let's not even say goodbye. If love means something, then there's always maybe. I've forgotten the words to the last verses. Song called There's Always Maybe. I just need the first line and the last verse. What you got there? That is. Oh, yeah. Sweet bird, you must fly now. And tell the land I love and I miss her so. May the dust and the light around her dance and whisper that I am waiting so slow. And if it's time for us to fall, well, don't suppose that this is all. Just remember what was here. And if the time has come to fly, well, let's not even say goodbye. If love means something, then there is always, well, there's always maybe. There's always maybe.
Martin Joseph live on the Drew Marshall Show. I would have forgotten the lyrics too because I was so lost in your riffing away there. Seriously, that was fantastic playing. Fantastic playing.
I got a bit lost in it myself, I think.
You were gone. Seriously.
I couldn't remember the last verse.
Oh, that sounded so good. So good. And you know I'm arrogant, so. No. I want to read something to you, Martin, and then I want to get your reaction to it.
It's not part of the bio again.
No.
Okay, good. Not,
seriously. Okay. This is an email I got recently from a friend of mine named Greg Paul. He is a guy behind a sort of a street mission down in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Very cool cat, very earthy, very social justice aware, mm-hmm. and holds no punches, okay? Anyway, I like this guy. As a matter of fact, I've been to his church a few times, and they have this sort of Sunday night service where the dregs of society come in and just kind of sit awkwardly in chairs wherever they want. And I'll never forget the moment where I was sitting there with my judgmental thing, my comfortable middle class white guy syndrome, being very uncomfortably moved by these special people, whether they be socially retarded or they be physically inept in some way. And I remember specifically one scene where they were worshiping and singing a song, and the guy in the wheelchair was moving his chair back and forth, and I was like, what are you doing, dude? And I realized he was getting into the worship song. I wasn't. I had my arms crossed, you know, judging the scene. And then they had communion. And this kind of creepy sort of guy came up, and he had the wheelchair, and he couldn't kind of get his arm thing. And he put his one hand on the bread and prayed this unbelievably contrite, broken prayer that killed me. And then he went to break the bread, and he said in his broken voice, can somebody help me break the bread? Because he couldn't do it. And I was gone. Yeah. I mean, I was just a weeping child from that point on. So that's this place. That's this guy. Okay. And he sends this email. If the fact that 3 million Canadians currently live in poverty really matters, why is the media more concerned about the number of questions Stephen Harper is willing to answer each day? If the way we care for the most vulnerable among us is the measure of a society, a government, a church, why are we so much more fascinated by the antics of Charlie Sheen, the essential irrelevance of most electioneering, or finishing a one-hour weekly service on time? If Jesus' mission is my mission, to announce good news to the poor, why am I so inclined to cast my vote for the candidate who promises to make life easiest for me and my family? If at election time, poverty really ought to matter, why is it rarely mentioned after the first few days of any given campaign? Our politicians, our media, and our church services reflect what actually concerns us. The image isn't very flattering, nor is it true to our calling as followers of Jesus. Media coverage of the current election campaign reveals, as usual, that journalists and candidates don't believe that justice for people who are poor and excluded is really a priority for Canadians. We need to show our political candidates that it is, in fact, a top-of-mind issue if we want them to address our concerns in this area. If you think that reduction of poverty and care of our most vulnerable citizens ought to be very high priority for our government, and then he goes into what we can do about it.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
What? Like, does it not drain on you being a social justice whinger for how many years?
Does it drain on me?
Yeah.
In what way?
I don't know. Like, hopelessness. Like, really, you have this innate ability to be able to look into the sphincter of humanity and catch a whiff and then paint it in such a beautiful, moving, motivational way. There's a quote for you.
Thank you. We'll put that in the bio and add that to the slop you read out before. I think that we are incredibly powerful as human beings. We have the power to do amazing things. We have the power to do some dreadful things. For example, Chile last year, when we brought those miners out of the ground, the world focused, although the media went away for 2 months when it realized they wouldn't be coming out, so we'll come back for the big party at the end. But we have this ability to employ technology, passion, the human spirit of those miners to stay hopeful all that time down there. The little boy who stood by the mechanism and took that sharp intake of breath when he saw his father coming out of the ground for the first time. And yet this on a piece of land where only 25 years before that, thousands had disappeared under the regime of General Pinochet. And the brave mothers of that nation would take the pictures of their loved ones, put them on their breast and dance in the squares of Santiago, because that was the only form of protest they allowed. Because if they went around with placards and saying, where are our kids, they too would have been arrested and ended up on the torture chambers of that evil man. So this is on the same piece of land and only 25 years ago. And now we're there, the whole world is there, and we're pushing for life, and we're bringing these miners out of the ground, only to be offset by 2 weeks later when miners in New Zealand, there's a disaster there, and they don't get out. And so you say, why some and not others and all the rest of it. But it, you know, the same piece of land, you know, our ability to be light, as it were, to do the right thing, And yet it doesn't take much for us to be pushed down this other way where we become selfish, where we don't actually care about the poor anymore, where we are comfortable and we do want to vote, as the gentleman says, for the politician that makes my life easier. Now, that might not sound evil to anyone, but it's not. It's just another step in another direction away from what is the right thing to do, I suppose. And unfortunately, we are these fallen spirits, whatever you want to call us. There are very few people in the world who, it seems, have the ability to constantly live in the world that you just said I kind of live in, that whingy, because in fact it's not true of me either. And some of the points the gentleman made, he's absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I don't know, unless you have this holy heart and soul, I don't know if we have the propensity within us to even live that life 100%. But of course, that there's truth, and that is the truth. And you can only keep striving for it, and keep fighting for it. But you can't fight every second of your life for it. There are times when we all need to take a step back. And I find that myself, because I go around and people come up to me and they say the most amazing things, Drew, and I'm aware. And they look and they just think, because I can paint these pictures and because the music does seem to be a vehicle as such to encourage and to make people feel like they're not alone in the world. And that's wonderful. But I also know the realities of my own life. I'm not stupid, and there is a difference. And none of us can live up to that standard 24/7.
Okay, so Martin Joseph must have funk times where you are just, down into the thick of it, and you are gray. Mm-hmm. You have this heavy molasses funk on you. Okay. Boy, this is an encouraging time here on the Drew Marshall Show.
Yeah, I'm sure they're all out there. Just
Kumbaya,
I came here to have a good time. Jeez.
But what I'm trying to get to here is, first of all, let's just confirm that does happen. Every creative sphincter smeller like you gets down into the funk.
Okay. Can I just quote you on that? Every sphincter smeller like me gets down into the funk.
So, how? First of all, how often does it happen? How do you climb out?
Okay, it happens probably on a daily basis.
Really?
Yeah, I would say so. That point of because I'm one of these people that I'm constantly observing.
Right.
I've never been able to switch that off. It's the creative mind, that part of me that is always looking for the story.
And you remind me of Mark Hurd.
Okay.
Do you know the name?
I never met him. I know he tragically died too young, and I know he's a great songwriter. Yeah.
Larry Norman told me once that Mark carried the weight of the world on his shoulders. He just could not release it. Mm. It was a gift and a curse. Mm. Do you have that? Hard for you to answer that. I think you probably have something like that.
I have something of that, yeah. I would say. I'm never aware. There's always, even when I'm having a good time, there's part of me that won't quite let up. And also, being quite frank with you, I've never quite had a taste for alcohol in my life. So often I'm around people and, the alcohol has a little effect. People just get a little more relaxed and I'm never able to do that. I'm just around to drive people home at the end of the night, So I've always felt slightly on a social level, slightly just outside of it. So I'm always the guy when everyone else is really starting to talk absolute nonsense, still thinking, I'm here right now and on the other side of the world, etc. I can't quite depart from that. But I think that's also part of just being, without sounding ridiculous, an artistic temperament. You're on the look for the story. You're a storyteller. You're about passing information on, and I think that's part of it.
How do you climb out?
I climb out, I just turn the other way.
And what?
I just think, okay, and I'll look at someone and they're laughing and I'll get into something else. It never leaves you. I don't think you actually climb out. You just sort of, it's just another part of who I am. I think someone's once said, I'm happy to be sad. And that part of me that is sad, I treasure, and I dare anyone to try and take it away from me, because without that, I'm not who I am. As far as I can see, the gentleman who wrote that would feel the same thing. I'm happy to have that tension. I'm happy to have the ability to slip back down into sadness immediately, because I feel that's an important part of who I am. But at the same time, I'm actually one of the happiest guys I know too. If you hang out with me, I'm good fun. I'm you know, my kids think I'm a laugh. I don't go around with a
no, they laugh at you.
Oh, that's it.
Different.
That's it. Sorry, yeah, the other way around.
Next up,
I don't go around with this sort of serious mystic guru-like trance-like look on my face. That's not me. Yeah. But I can be in the middle of a hockey game or on the golf course, and suddenly I'm gone. I'm away, and someone will say something, and I'll say, what? Sorry, and I know exactly where I am. I'm in that gray place. But don't dare take it away from me.
You know what? You cannot be a fun guy to be married to.
My wife would agree with you.
I'm serious.
Right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm all right.
Honestly. I'm telling you, man. Because look, I'm relating on some levels here, right? Yeah. And I know I'm not a treat. I know I'm not a treat.
Oh, who is? You know, after when Sean and I, we met in this 15-year-old and 16-year-old. So after 30, you know, we've been married for 25 years. But who is a treat at that point?
Yeah.
You know, it's a different sort of relationship. You know, you're into. But, you know, and to be honest, you know, I've got to the point, I've worked hard for 30 years, and I'm thinking about, you know, the future of thinking, well, you know, it's time to perhaps ease off a bit and find a little bit more outside of the gray, as you have sort of named it today. But at the same time, if I turned that off, then I think so much of me would fall away and decay. I wouldn't, you know, want to study, I wouldn't want to look at stuff, understand stuff, try to empathize, all those things. If you know, you just become some of these people that you do see sometimes who seem to not have a care in the world and just go through life, and it's all.
Yeah, but you want to hurt those people.
I don't hurt them. No,
I do.
I want to. Well, you know, we'll sort that out with you. I want to illuminate their worlds. That's all. I just want to make them think in other forms, and perhaps, you know, relinquish some of that drive and that selfishness, and realize perhaps the potential they could be to help in different ways. But they make me cross at times. You know, it depends what they're doing at the time, you know. But most of them are harmless. And they just seem to leave these lives where they walk through and nothing really affects them and it's all hunky-dory. But then again, you know, I don't really believe that they...
No, exactly. No, anyway, we can see through that.
Yeah.
Okay, Martin's final performance on his Canadian tour is in Orangeville tonight. Just go up the main drag there, and you'll find Westminster United Church. It's kind of a big, tall, steeply-looking thing, 247 Broadway, $25 at the door. I will be there. Of course, that should be a draw just in and of itself. Martin Joseph, with a Y in the word Martin, not Joseph. MartinJoseph.com is the website. Your latest release, Under Lemonade Skies. Yeah. Under Lemonade Skies.
Yeah, now there's my wife came in there, because I had, the album was called Lonely Like America all the time I was recording it. And she said, oh, gee, that sounds like another miserable Martin Joseph album. Give me the lyric sheet. And she found, on a song called So Many Lies, another happy song, there's a line called Cascading Water Under Lemonade Skies. She said, there you are, there's your title, that's much better. And she was right. That's how it works.
I don't like the aftertaste of lemonade.
Okay. Well, as I told you, I've never acquired the taste for alcohol, so it works fine for
No,
me.
Come on. I was getting all deep and philosophical there with you. The aftertaste of lemonade. Come on.
That's a nice line.
I thank you.
That's the aftertaste of lemonade.
And where do we go from there?
Something about raining on the parade. charade. Cascade. Placade.
Yeah, can we work the word sphincter into this again, please?
No,
okay.
Spade.
Okay, yeah.
Fade.
Thank you.
Paid?
Do we get paid? Yeah, I don't know. No. Listen, can we steal another song out of you?
Sure, you can.
What are we doing now, Mr. Martin Joseph?
This is a song I'm going to play.
Oh, by the way, I just noticed your jersey.
Yeah,
your jumper.
The Canucks.
The old Vancouver Canucks.
I know, you like it.
Well done.
I came a week earlier with my son for this tour. We did a hockey tour. We went to Calgary, Boston, then we went to see Vancouver play St. Louis, and then the Leafs beat Pittsburgh, and then I sent him home after the Hockey Hall of Fame. We had a father and son NHL tour.
Well done. Next time, let me know. We'll get you down to the ACC to watch a Leaf game. Did you go?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Did he say that already?
Leafs Pittsburgh.
Oh, you did say that.
Yeah. That's all right.
Sorry, folks, you're listening to whatever. Anyway, set it up, man.
This is for you, buddy.
Oh, gee.
the dust of this journey settles behind, scattering great mystery that others may find. We're running on hope, but we still run blind. You are my brother in exile. And I watch you and I'm learning there's miles to go. Though we boarded that great vessel, seems a lifetime ago. And you'd have made a great father, and you are one, you know. And you are my brother in exile. Living out here means nostalgia burns strong for the forests of Eden, where we used to belong. But we couldn't remain there, that was a land we outgrew. And now this wilderness, she gives a far-reaching view to brothers and sisters. In exile. And we've said our confessions of grief. And I've watched you with courage sail your brittle course. Ah, but better all this than be banished by force. Don't you think, my brother? So where will we go? And who will we be? Can't say for certain, I think you will agree. All the storms we've endured on our uncommon sea have left us brothers in exile. Brothers in exile. Brothers in exile.
Live on The Drew Marshall Show, my very, very good friend, Mr. Martin Joseph. Too bad you wouldn't, you don't live closer. Be a depressing hang. Two of us trying to suss through life. You're known as a guy who has this, again, this capacity or this ability to penetrate the numbness of whatever each individual person is in. You just, for some reason, you can get through there. And I see that as sort of a courage transfusion. You are able to encourage. You are an encourager. You're a rattler, and you're a bit of a pain in the butt as well. But you're an encourager, ultimately. Hope follows you. Wow, I should be writing greeting cards today.
You should. Hallmark. Just...
hope follows you. So who encourages you?
It's a good question.
Because normally,
well,
there's very few people that can do that to an encourager.
Yeah. I suppose to answer your question in a different way, I feel the job of a good song is to make the listener feel like they're not alone in the world. That's kind of how I feel that the whole thing is about. I've come to that point. And on the new record, there's a Springsteen track called One Step Up. And I've been playing it lately. And at the end of singing it, I then take the song apart line by line. And I show the listener how I think he sums up the human condition in 4 minutes across three chords. And there's a line in that song where he says, when I look at myself, I don't see the man I wanted to be. Somewhere down the line, I slip off track. At that moment, that's where I get my encouragement from. Because he's saying, I think, to any man who's honest and willing enough to admit it, it's okay. It's okay. it's okay. So I get my inspiration in the same place, really, that people, I think, would find inspiration, which is so wonderful and kind of them, through, it appears, what I do, through those that express things we cannot express for ourselves, artists, good friends, just, you know, art, cinema, books, just stuff that really goes beyond the BS and gets to the heart and keeps you going, keeps you wanting to be part of that creative process. And it's just, you know, good buddies who know you well, who, you know, again, see beyond the biography and come up and, you know, and just, you know, say, let's go and play golf. It's that. And my kids are incredible, honestly. You know, the inspiration they give me, my family. You know, I'm a blessed man in that regard. So I don't find it too hard to find that hope. But on an artistic level, to want to go out and keep playing, it's people like the Bruce Cobains. It's people like the Springsteens, the U2s of this world, the artists that I think really shake the ground. And, as I said, make us feel like, you know what, I can do this. I can do this. And
did you see Bruce while he's doing a bit of stuff right now?
I haven't. No, I've got his new album, which I'm really enjoying. I emailed Bernie, his manager, the day and said thought the album was great. I haven't seen him for about 18 months now, actually, but he seems to be on good form.
I'd love to see a partnership with you and True North. I don't know how that can be done.
It did. Well, I put an album called Deep Blue, was out with them a few years back when Bernie was in charge there.
Okay, right.
But then he kind of passed the label over to other people, and I. Wasn't part of that there. Yeah. So that's okay. I mean, you know, selling records through stores these days is such a small part of the whole deal, you know. So, yeah. But they're good people, and you know, it's great, and it's just his new record is fantastic, and you know, he's a wonderful man, a great inspiration to me.
I'm going to set you up for something so that you have a little lead time to pull something out of your hat.
Mm-hmm. Well done. Well done, Dad. Well done, Drew. Keep it clean.
Like something a little upbeat, a little, how's she going? A little cheeky at the end here.
A song-wise.
Yeah, I see. Something a little, you know. But before, while he's thinking about that, folks, again, tonight, $25 at the door in Orangeville, Ontario, half an hour north of Brampton, straight up number 10. You get on the 410, turns into the 10, and next thing you know, you're in Orangeville. And you're going to turn left and go into town and look for the big, tall, steeply church. It's called Westminster United Church. $25. The concert is at 8 o'clock tonight. Lots of people there, but it's a perfect venue. Perfect venue to hear Martin Joseph perform. Again, the website is martinjoseph.com, and it's Martin with a Y. If you don't have time to write any of that down, go to our website, and we have his deets up there for your pleasure. The latest release, Under Lemonade Skies. You can get your grubby hands on that anywhere, anytime, anyhow. Martin has been performing for over 30, what are you, 31, 32, something like that?
Years.
Yeah, years. Yeah, wow. Yeah, well done.
Well done. 50.
Must be knackered.
I'm very knackered.
Yeah. And I want to let you know what's coming up next while Martin does a little song for Tim the Tool here called Tuning. Leland Clausen will be joining us. He is our final comedian of the day. By the way, this is our April Fool's Day special. I didn't know whether you realized that or not, Martin.
On April the 2nd.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
You're going to bring that up? Thanks. Thanks.
I tell you a quick story. I did a show last night in Port Hope. Raise money for a building that they're trying to resave there. And fortunately, the heating situation was not great. We could see our breath, you know.
No.
Yeah. So I sort of said to the organizer at one point, as I put the date on my set list, I said, April Fool, right. I said, okay, where's the gig really? Where's the real gig?
Nice.
Yeah, it was so cold.
Well done. I left a message today on one of our Juno Award winners' telephone. On their message, she won an award for Best Jazz Vocal Album of the Year. Lila Bialy, quite an incredible artist. I left her a little voicemail during the show saying that I was somebody from the, what was it again? The Juno Nomination Committee, and that we've had to do a recount.
Oh, no. You're a cruel man.
And then Carrie Pomeroli, our Hollywood correspondent, will join us at the end of the show, and we'll have a little yuck-yuck at the end. Going out with a little smile on our face here with Martin
Joseph.
In the studio. Have a listen, folks.
You're the moment I am missing. You're my craving for caress.
pristine revelation that there still is righteousness. My comfort and my passion, you're my pride without the fall. And your presence is like incense at the entrance to the hall. You're sacred as the Jordan and all the mystery. My rainbow shades of serenity. The hummingbirds of Georgia on their flight to Hudson Bay. Your enduring heart sustains me through the journey of each day. In my keen anticipation that the summer will supply the lavender aroma of an infinite July. You are quietness, you are elation, you are the anthems of a night. The reason I'm not fearful, come the dimming of the light. You're sacred as the Jordan and all the mystery. My rainbow shades of serenity. The hummingbirds of Georgia on their flight to Hudson Bay. Your enduring heart sustains me through the journey of each day. Jordan, all a mystery, my rainbow shades of serenity. The hummingbirds of Georgia on their flight to Hudson Bay. Your enduring heart sustains me through the journey of each day. You're the moment I am missing, you're my craving. Pristine revelation, there still is righteousness. You are wisdom, you are purity, smooth untrodden sand. And the footprints I will follow in this broken promised land.
Martin Joseph on the Drew Marshall Show. Thank you again for coming all the way down here. And I look so forward to seeing you do your thing tonight up in Orangeville, Westminster United Church, 8 o'clock, $25 at the door. We will see you there, folks. It will be a gig and a half, let me tell you. Always a pleasure to have this man in the studio, and we welcome you back the next time.
Thanks, Drew. Thanks for having me, and thanks for what you do.
Appreciate your guts. All right, enough of the warm and fuzzies. Folks, short break on the show. When we come back, comedian Leland Clausen. And then we're going to do some kind of crazy game show thing here, which will just embarrass people to death. We'll have fun. It'll be good. Trust me. Stay with us.
Says loved enough, you shall be once again. And if it's time for us to fall, but don't suppose that this is all. Just remember what was here. If the time has come to...
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign? Well, what if we gave you a show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative advertising concept for the small business owner or charity. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us, one show at a time. Consider sponsoring one show and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, including a live phone interview. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. If you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Go to drewmarshall.ca for details or call Joy 1250 on 905-845-2821, extension 367. That's 905-845-2821, extension 367.